So, in the realm of the spirit, we are literally inside of Christ. And it's sometimes when we hear that said, thank you guys, but be ready. When we hear that said, it almost sounds like a philosophical, hypothetical thing. Yes, we are in Christ. And we think that once we leave this earth and go to heaven, yes, we're going to be in Christ in the presence of the Lord, which is true. But there is a spiritual reality that in the realm of the spirit right now, when God looks at you, he looks at you literally inside of Christ. Y'all follow me? And in the realm of the spirit, when demons try to look at you, they see Christ and they see you inside of Christ. And when you live from that reality, you recognize that nothing can hurt you or touch you. And if it does, it is illegal. And you can exercise your authority and say, this is a trespass. It is illegal for this thing to happen, and I enforce my covenant rights and arrest everything that's trying to hinder me or distract me or attack me. See, sometimes we are waiting on God to do a thing, and God is saying, look, I'm waiting on you to do a thing. We have a covenant with God. And this covenant allows us to have intimacy with Holy Spirit, but also allows us to walk in the authority of Holy Spirit. And it allows him to live in us because our bodies are the temples of the what? Holy Ghost. But we also simultaneously live in him. The scripture says, in him we live and move and have our existence. Now, a lot of times people try to separate that from, they say, oh, that's spiritual, but that's not the natural. No, it is both. God, even though there's a difference between the supernatural and the natural, but God, when God is moving, he's looking at the wholeness of who we are, the totality of who we are. So in him, we live and move and have our being, even when we're doing natural things. Because we are supernatural beings, living a supernatural experience in the earth realm that is currently under natural constraints. I'll say that again because I want you to get that in your spirit. We are supernatural beings, because we're spirit first, having a supernatural experience because our spirit man rules and commands our natural experiences. And when we speak life, it produces something, because Jesus says our words are spirit and life, meaning they are spiritual substance and they are life. And so we have a supernatural experience because our words are producing something, and we are living in a natural realm right now, because the natural realm is subject to being natural until it is fully redeemed. That's why it says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Because earth was originally made supernatural. But then it became subject to the natural when Adam fell. But when Jesus redeemed us, we were redeemed to be supernatural like Adam was originally designed. And the earth is groaning for the manifestations of the Son of God, because the manifestation of the Son of God will usher towards the creation being transformed back into its original state. So I want you to understand that, because today is a day of breakthroughs. One of the things that God has been speaking to me about is, he's been talking to me about unusual miracles. And everywhere I've been looking, I've been hearing people say unusual miracles, expect unusual miracles. And I'm like, okay, So we need to expect the unusual miracles, but we also need to recognize that unusual miracles happen when we follow illogical and unusual instructions. And we have to understand that the unusual miracles are not for us, but to be worked through us. God is inviting us into this higher dimension with Him, where we understand that we are glory carriers and miracle workers by design, and divine intervention happens for us because of our covenant. And because of our covenant, we live in a supernatural place. See, the supernatural is not something we pray for to happen. Thank you. We pray for it to happen. We fast to happen. We pray. We fast. We go on Daniel fast. We do all these things. We cut out Netflix. And we do all of that for the supernatural to happen. The supernatural is not an event. You can't fast for the supernatural. You can't pray for the supernatural. The supernatural is a dimension. It is a realm that we operate from because of revelation. And so that's why I say when you come, we expect the power of God to be demonstrated because we are living in Christ, who is already supernatural. And how can you be with Christ and not have a this changes everything moment? The only difference is how you touch him. There are people touching him and ain't nothing happened. But when the lady with the issue of blood touched him, something happened. And he was like, "Who touched me?" And they were like, "Everybody's touching you." And he was like, "Nope. Somebody touched with expectation. Somebody touched with anticipation. Somebody touched recognizing that the supernatural power of Jesus is normal." So in Exodus 34, let me read this to you, verse 10. Exodus 34, verse 10 from the New American Standard, because this has been in my spirit for 3 weeks, and God has been talking to me about covenant and just recognizing the benefits of covenant. And I'm like, "Well, Jesus, you've been talking about covenant for years, and there have been people talking about covenant all over the place. You got churches named covenant. Our church has the name covenant." But here's the thing that Holy Spirit said to me. Can we go deeper, y'all? Because when I speak, I don't like to say a reminder. I don't like to teach reminders. You know, when I teach, I don't want people to say, "That was a good reminder." And I'm like, I got to go back to the secret place. Because if I have to remind you, then I'm not revealing anything new. Alarm clocks can do reminders. Prophetic people release revelation, and they release the new. So this is what the Lord said that highlighted something new to me in relation to our covenant. Exodus 34, verse 10, it says, "Then God said," and I'm going to pause right here. We're going to pray for everybody in here, so get ready. And whatever you have that's signifying the thing that needs breakthrough, we're going to lay hands on it and you. So get ready. So don't think that the presence and the power like is on pause until I get done talking. That's not how that works. I just really sense that the Lord wants me to explain some things so that your faith can be at a certain place of expectation. So when we lay hands, you see the results. Versus saying, "Ooh, that was a good service," and then you go down to Quintanilla and eat the chicken and mashed potatoes and then don't see anything different. Yep, Pastor Val said the game's over. And there is no overtime. And so let me speak this prophetically. This is what the Lord said to me last week, and I'm going to speak this to you prophetically. So, and let me tell you the story. So the other week, you know, everybody was rushing to get their first cut in for their grass, right? And so I cut my grass before all the rain came, and I noticed there were some leaves there in the front yard from the season before, that because of how things changed so quickly, I wasn't really able to get those leaves up. So after I did my first cut, I was able to go back and get leaves and dispose of them from the previous season. So when I did that, the Lord spoke this, and I believe this is prophetic for all of us in here and watching, that there were some things that you couldn't address at the end of the last season that God has given you opportunity to address right now in this new season. There was some unfinished business. There were some things that were covered up because them leaves was covered by snow and they were still there when the snow melted. So there was some stuff that was beneath the surface that was covered up, but the Lord is uncovering those things and allowing you to address them now. And don't think you are still in a previous season because you're dealing with that old stuff. You're in a new season bringing finality to something that was old so that there can be complete closure as you step into this new season that God has for you. Hallelujah. You receive that? Thank you, Lord. It says, then God said, behold, I'm going to make a covenant before all your people. I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth. He said, before your people. So in public, Val, can you hand me my phone, please? In public, in places where people will see, miracles are going to be performed. So no longer are you in your room, in your quiet place, and you receive a miracle, and then you have to come tell somebody, oh, the Lord did a divine intervention for me, or the Lord did this for me, the Lord did that. God is moving in such a way where it's going to be broadcasted. It's going to be public knowledge. It can't be fake news. It can't be anything like that, because God is going to move in such a way where it has to go viral because somebody else is going to testify. Come on. You know, Jesus once said, if I testify of myself, it's one thing, but if other people testify, get ready for people to tell your testimony for you. You don't have to get up like they used to do back in the day for testimony service and be like, I want to thank and praise the Lord, who's the head of my life, for all his goodness. Somebody's going to get online and say, look, I want to thank and praise the Lord, who's the head of my life, because of what he did in Nina's life. I saw him move so powerfully. I just got to do a Facebook Live and say, look, Jesus is alive. He said, before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth. Miracles that have not been produced in the earth. I was like, where did I see that before, Jesus? And then he took me to the book of Acts, where it says God worked unusual miracles through the hands of Paul. So much so, here was an example that he was sending handkerchiefs and people were getting healed. So if the Lord tells you to go buy a towel from the store, to anoint that towel and send it to somebody and watch them get healed, do it. Because here's the thing, you can't worry about somebody saying that's witchcraft. Because what I have found is the people who call everything witchcraft are the people who don't understand the power of God. Yep. And they've allowed superstition to make them think every demonstration that's supernatural is of the devil, as if he has power. See, I'm in this place where I'm tired of giving or tired of allowing the devil to get more credit or more power or more authority than he actually does. People think the devil can do so much when he can't. He's a spiritual being that fell from heaven because of foolishness. He can't be everywhere. He can't do everything. He is not all-knowing. And people be preaching the devil's gospel like he Jesus. They be talking about what he can do. He's an angel that was stripped of authority and power. He doesn't even have the same power as Gabriel. And Gabriel is not a warrior angel. He's a messenger. He definitely doesn't have the same power as Michael, who is the chief warrior angel. He has no power. There are angels in here right now talking about, yes, say that. He has no power. Every bit of power he thought he had was stripped from him, from Michael and the angels, when they kicked him out of heaven. And then when he thought he took something from Adam because of deception, Jesus took that back. And Jesus was so cold with it. And if I could just use a street term, he was gangster with it. And I know somebody going to be like, you call Jesus gangster? Well, this was a gangster move. Sorry. He went to hell. And Satan was celebrating, calling all of his principalities back, talking about we finally got him. And Jesus whooped him up, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He said, look, I got the authority over death. I got the authority over hell, where you are, and the grave. And then he resurrected. And he had an angel move the stone and sit on it, chill it. Talking about who you looking for ain't here. I was sent from heaven just to sit here like this. I'm about to move, Jewel. You looking for Jesus? He ain't here. So that's when they had to say, show me where you are today. So I want you to see this. Because he's alive. He is not abstract. He's not like Buddha, because Buddha ain't alive. I don't know where his spirit is, but it ain't in the earth. Right. Jesus is not like these spirits that try to present themselves as gods. Jesus is God. So he said, and our covenant is a covenant that allows the demonstration that he's alive. That's our covenant right. My relationship with him says that he's going to show people he's alive through me. That means, that's why, see, I did this, see, I need y'all to get in alignment. Sometimes I feel like I'm teaching two different things. Y'all need to see what I was teaching on Thursday. Because on Thursday, I taught this message online. It's talked about sent with signs. That God didn't send you empty-handed. He sent you with gifts, talents, and abilities to produce supernatural signs. So when he sent you with gifts, talents, abilities to produce what? Supernatural signs. That's what he told Moses. When Moses, he was like, Moses, I want you to go deliver my people. He said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. Then he said, what if they don't believe me? And what if they say God has not appeared? See, sometimes people don't want to believe you. They don't want to believe that you heard from God, that you saw God, that you had a visitation from God, that you were anointed by God, that you're chosen by God. And people have tried to count you out. They've tried to say, no, you ain't all of this. But you need to understand that you are chosen by God, and your present circumstances are not a disqualifier that you were chosen, and you are still chosen. You did not forfeit your destiny. I don't know your name, but that's for you specifically. Hallelujah. And you just said your name, and just like you, and I'm not going to say it for the live stream people, but just like that name is not by happenstance. I just talked about a chief angel with your same name that's a warrior, so you need to understand that there is something on you that causes spiritual things to happen because the Lord wars on you, on your behalf, as you do things, as you follow his voice. That is why the entanglements came, because they wanted to hinder you from walking in the fullness of your destiny. But I'm going to tell you this. There are angels being released right now that's already in your 5 years from today. Hallelujah. 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 See, the thing is, and that's prophetic for a lot of others in this room and somebody watching as well, there are angels already in 5 years from today, already moving and clearing things out of the way for you. Because here's the thing, God exists outside of time. He lives in eternity. And time is a created thing. The angels live in eternity with God. So he can send them into the future and to arrange things for him, for us, before we even get there. Because they don't have to wait for earthly time to pass. Let me give you a visual. So over the weekend, I was watching this movie called Endgame. And Ant-Man was saying, we need to do a time heist, and we can undo what Thanos did. He said, the quantum realm works like this. You step in one point, but you can come out at another point in time. And that was the whole basis of the movie, right? But there's a degree of revelation in that. Because that's how God operates in eternity. This is how God can be in the past, present, and future simultaneously. Because one, he's God, and two, he's not bound by time. And angels don't know the future, but he can send them into the future. Now, the devil can't do that because they're not with God. Only the ones with God can do that because he has to send them. So let me make that clear. Because, you know, we ain't into the spooky stuff. It says, I'm going to make a covenant before all your people. I'll perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations, and all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord. All the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord. All the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord. So everybody around you is going to see the demonstration of the supernatural. Say, I receive it. And then it says, for it is a fearful thing that I'm going to perform. What's the last two words? With you. Say, with me.
With you.
Look at somebody behind you and say, with you. What? But yeah, I got you. Look at somebody in this space and say, with you. Val, like, we all looking behind. Ain't nobody to say it. With you. We just have to understand that that's what God is doing. That's why when he sent the disciples in Mark, he says, these signs will follow you because you believe. In fact, let's go there. I ain't nowhere on my notes anyway. We might. Glory to God. And Holy Spirit told me I wasn't going to use my notes. That's why I ain't even grabbed my iPad. It's weird when you study and you put your stuff together. You got your Greek and your Hebrew definitions and you know, my notes are bullet pointed and color coded and highlighted. And then God says, you ain't going to use none of that. I'm like, thank you for the preparation, Jesus. So, in Mark 16, verse 17, it says this, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. I'm going to pause there. Because check this out. Casting out demons, David, is not just laying hands on somebody and telling the demon to leave and watch them foam at the mouth and all that. Which, that happens. And is a normal part of what we do. There shouldn't be a thing called a deliverance circle. You know what I'm saying? It's so true, because everybody's in deliverance. You don't need a special anointing. We've all been given it already. Now, of course, there needs to be development in the difference between demonic oppression, demonic possession, demonic seed, which is something that's been planted in the soul, a demonic soul tie, a demonic covenant, or just somebody yielding to demonic influence. You got to know the difference. And this is why sometimes people in the body of Christ are saying, well, I saw demons come out of the believer. Well, did you see them coming out? Or was it something that was uprooted coming out? Because when it comes out, it looks the same. But then, you know, scholars want to argue, can a believer be possessed? No, a believer cannot be possessed. Well, I've seen it come out. Well, that's when you ask the Lord, what is it that I'm seeing? See, a lot of times we have to ask God the question, why? Why am I seeing this when your word says this? And God will tell you. So casting out demons also refers to casting them out of territories. Demonic spirits try to operate in places, in cities, in territories. So sometimes we're looking for people to cast a demon out of, and we're like, sometimes judging folks by the way they dress and look, thinking, oh, they got a demon, and I'm just waiting to jump on them and cast them out. Sometimes casting out a demon simply means God sends you into a territory, and because he's going with you, because he's in you and he's on you, then the demons operating in that atmosphere have to leave. And sometimes that does not take a lot of fasting and prayer. And I'm not against fasting and prayer. Let me pause you on that. Fasting and prayer is essential. Somebody say it again. Fasting and prayer is what? Essential. Fasting moves you closer to God and increases your sensitivity to him. Prayer is how we foster our relationship with God. But sometimes people think that those disciplines are a formula when they are not. The way things happen supernaturally is not because you had a 5-step or 10-step formula that you checked off the box. The way things happen is because you recognize who you are and who he is in you, and the resurrection power of Jesus that's operating and dripping all over you. And when you step into a place, demons have to leave out of the atmosphere, out of people, out of animals. It don't matter. They gotta go because you stepped in and the resurrected Jesus stepped in with you because he's on you, he's in you, and you are in him. And when you have that revelation, you don't have to feel like you have to work yourself up to make something happen. You just walk in because he's the one that makes it happen anyway. Y'all receiving that? Because I want you to stop trying to do something by works. Now, all of those things are important, but sometimes we have this works mentality of trying to earn and produce something that God produces. So he said, these signs are going to follow or accompany those who have believed. You must believe in two dimensions. You have to believe in Jesus first, because if you don't believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't try this at home. Because we saw that with the 7 sons of Sceva. So you got to believe in Jesus first. But then after that, you got to believe that God would do it through you, which is where a lot of the perspective had to be broken off. Like today, we were talking about mindsets being broken off. Because some people think, well, I need to have the title. I need to be ordained. Or I need to be used like I see them be used. Well, I'm not like them, so maybe he won't use me. I don't know all the Bible that well, so maybe he won't. No. You have to believe that he'll use you, that he's gifted you, he's anointed you, and whatever part of the Bible you know is the part that he's going to have you use while he keeps you growing. Then it says, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. We shouldn't be debating about tongues. I'm going to just leave it there. And they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it would not hurt them. So you don't have to worry about people talking about contamination of the food supply and all of that stuff that's out there. You bless your food, eat it, enjoy it, and keep it moving. When Jesus cooked fish when after he resurrected, you think he was concerned about what he was eating? And he didn't even have to eat, but he did to show that he was alive, that he is alive. It says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when you lay hands, they will recover. That's what he said. He said it, we believe it. It's done. But we have to believe the moment that I lay hands that Jesus is actually touching them and that his power is being transferred through my fingers into their body and dissolving and disintegrating every form of sickness, any foreign substance that's in the body. And since Jesus is the one who designed us and made us and not we ourselves, he can supernaturally rewire things that need to be rewired, whether it's in the brain or whatever the case may be, because I'm sensing that right now. There's somebody needs to lay hands on somebody who you know that you, let me say it this way, because I'm like trying to speak it as fast as it's coming and it's not working out. Somebody you know has a diagnosis of a mental disorder. And I don't know who this is for. And the Holy Spirit is intentionally not telling me the name, so their names aren't broadcasted. The Lord is instructing you to go lay hands and command the wiring of their brain to become normalized. And he says, when you do that in faith, you're going to see a progressive, I'm going to say it exactly like he's saying it, what we call a progressive miracle. He doesn't call it that, but what we call a progressive miracle. So you're going to see a gradual progression of the manifestation of healing when you obey those instructions. Hallelujah. So whoever that was for, you need to do it. And if you need help doing it, come get me. I'll definitely go lay some hands. Hallelujah.